Item number six, please.
Item number six, a resolution by Supervisor Bowen requesting the facilities management and procurement staff of the Department of Administrative Services, the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Health and Human Services issue a request for proposals for the provision of housekeeping and janitorial services in county facilities.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This item number six, covers a process that we've been through with the last contract with janitorial services, which was being planned to come to the board. And I know that several individuals might want to speak to the item as well, but essentially the same contract is coming back to us that we already rejected. And there have been some talks to adjust some things with the contract, but it's not in writing and it's not ready yet. So I think at this point, it's in our best interest for Milwaukee County to redirect the administration to move forward with a new RFP process, addressing the concerns that we had in the first time go and first time around. So we'll have individuals from the departments also talk to some of their involvement in this process, but I think at this point it's in our interest to just start the RFP process over again. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Just a technical question, I guess, in terms of if we approve a new RFP before the living wage ordinance takes effect in May, does it ensure that this in the other item it said it takes effect May 19th or something. I thought it was in effect for all future procurements, but I just wanted to understand or ensure that this procurement would in fact include the living wage if approved.
Supervisor Bowen.
Before.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe I saw Director Jerry Hare of Audit in the room as well. He might be able to speak to some of his involvement moving forward with living wage and implementation-wise. But I believe the 60-day clause was in May. So as long as it's a contract that's approved after that point, I believe that's when it should be in effect on that contract. So I'll let Director speak as on that.
Mr. Hare?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Chapter 111 of the ordinances that you adopted charges the work group with coming up with the implementation mechanism for the minimum wage, gives us 60 days to resolve and publish those procedures. We're told by the clerk that the publication date was March 31st, and that our work group then would have its work published by May 30th, basically. That's the timetable. In terms of the application to anything that's in the pipeline, my understanding would be that any solicitation beginning after that date would be subject to the minimum wage, but you know, corp counsel's here. If they have a different view on anything that's in the pipeline between now and then, obviously, you know, they're the attorneys.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure that I understood that when you say between now and then.
Right.
So prior to publication of the rules, it's not yet in effect,
That's my understanding, because right now the rules are embodied in ordinance, but the process for implementing those rules is what the work group had the 60 days to do, to develop to develop solicitation language for RFPs and bid documents, to develop contract language for committing vendors to the requirements, and to develop the monitoring tools by administrators to make sure that they are indeed following through and paying the minimum wage, and then our protocols for auditing compliance with the minimum wage. That's all what that 60 days was about. That's my perspective. So to me, the most logical application is for a solicitation that begins after that date. We have seen this discussion in other jurisdictions in terms of the timing. There are FAQ documents out around the country, and some have interpreted that anything, quote, in the pipeline, a solicitation that began before the effective date it would be the contract signing date that would trigger it, so you basically have to reboot that solicitation. But I know so. Paul's behind me, and he's given this some thought because we had the same question with the work group.
All right. I should say
Mr. Barger.
Mr. Chair, I'd be interested in hearing that. I mean, if whether or not it would be understood that the procurement should occur with the requirement, or whether our authorization today should stipulate that we want a procurement that hits the street June 1st to ensure that it's after the publication of whatever the administrative rules are.
Mr. Barber.
Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Hare and I did talk about this, and I think we're in agreement on it. I agree with the description that Mr. Hare provided. I guess it's a matter of timing a little bit on when this proposal would go out. If the board wanted to make clear its intention that it expected to approve only a contract that included minimum wage, I think you could include that in your request. Whether that would delay things until June 1st, I don't know, but it would delay the RFP at least to some extent, I suppose.
Is there clarity?
Mr. Chair, does Corp Counsel have a recommendation on how best to effectuate it?
Well, you're requesting in your resolution that the RFP be issued. I think, while you can't direct them necessarily, you can make clear your intention that if a contract comes back without a minimum wage, if that's what the sense of the committee or the sense of the board is, that you won't approve it. I think it would make sense to include in your request that the RFP go out with the minimum wage requirements in it at the appropriate time. And that would, among other things, telegraph that you weren't going to approve a contract that came back without minimum wage.
So living wage or minimum wage?
The minimum wage is the term I prefer. I think it's proper. But I'm referring to the ordinance, to 111.
Okay. Any other comments? I do have
request. Modify the request to include.
I guess I'm interested in knowing what do you think is the best way? So on line 49 49 we specify the date of issue, or do we just specify that it be issued to include the living wage provisions?
Yes, I would do that. The latter.
Okay.
I don't have the resolution in front of me.
All right, Mr. Chair, then I would make the motion to amend the resolution on line 49 to add language after the word facilities. So the sentence would read, the entire clause would read, be it resolved, facilities management and procurement staff of the Department of Administrative Services, Department of Transportation, and the Department of Health and Human Services shall issue a new request for proposals, RFP, to provide housekeeping and janitorial services in county facilities, and then the new language would be that complies with the living wage, Milwaukee County's living wage ordinance as adopted. That would be the motion. Is that a clear one, or we want to write that out, or?
Mr. Cady.
Okay. Could we do a temporary layover, Mr. Chairman?
What we can do is we can listen to. I have three cards. Mm-hmm. We can listen to the testimony of those who have provided the cards while Mr. Cady is doing what he's doing. I have cards. Thank you, Mr. Marvin. I have cards from Jeffrey Packy, Barbara Whitstone, and Tricia Didion. Would they like to come forward? I have cards from them on items 6 and 7.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Jeffrey Packey, President of Clean Power. I will represent Tricia Didion and Barbara Whitstone as well.
Okay.
Direct questions that I can address?
Do you have, is there something you'd like to offer to us?
We have made some revisions to the last contract that was submitted, and then the RFP process was rejected by the board. We've made some provisions to that we think are very workable, and we do include both an option for including the living wage ordinance pricing as well as the original pricing that was submitted.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
As I understand it, the current contract is month to month. And I guess my only question would be, would they be willing to continue the month-to-month contract under current terms?
Yes, we are, but we feel we can make improvements to that and sign a longer-term contract that would still have in it the clause to cancel for non-performance.
Thank you. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First time I'm hearing that the provisions for living wage would be adjusted as well, so that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I did get a chance to talk to Director Don Tyler, who has another engagement this morning. I think moving forward, what I was told was that those provisions wouldn't be able to be included legally without going through a new RFP process. So I think I would have to get clarification from Corporation Counsel. If we can move in that direction after already having an RFP process, a vendor winning that RFP process and adjusting those terms in the contract. So I just want to get clarification from Corporation Counsel on that.
Anyone, either Mr. Bargren or Mr. Grady, could you give us some clarification on or something related to Supervisor Bowen's questions? Supervisor Bowen, would you repeat your question? I'm not sure you heard.
The question was, as the president of Clean Power stated, they are interested in moving forward with complying to the living wage provisions. Can they legally do that in their contract after winning the original RFP? I was told by Director Don Tyler that was not possible, so I just wanted to get clarification on that.
Sure. Chairman and supervisors, that's correct. The contract could not be awarded now with different terms based on the RFP. The terms have changed. Other bidders on that RFP should be allowed the same opportunity to update their bids if that was going to be the approach. Others may have come out in different order if they had included a minimum wage versus whatever they bid. So either that old RFP would have to be reopened and allowed to, bidders would be allowed to rebid, or a new RFP would be required.
Okay. And let me further clarify, and we have Director Norris here as well. There were some provisions that would be changed around engaging. Better engaging DBEs in this process and in this contract. Can those provisions be adjusted as well in this contract, or is it the same situation as living wage that we'd have to start the RFP process over for them to adjust the terms so that they could better comply with those provisions as well?
Any adjustments to the contract that was going to be awarded that were different and would have affected the bidding price or bidding terms that were set out in the RFP basically would not be allowed. And so if there were going to be different elements that would affect the price or other conditions, those would have to be in a new RFP.
Okay. Thank you, Corporation Counsel. And I guess that's just further clarification that we likely should just go through this process and with a fresh start. I think the more that we have Director Norris and Director Hare, the ability to give input on the RFP process, the better, so that provisions under DBE and living wage can be followed throughout the RFP process and allow all the bidders to bid in those circumstances. But I do thank the president of Clean Power for agreeing that those provisions are important and are more than accessible to follow. So that's all, Mr. Chair.
Sir, would you introduce yourself?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm Director North of, for the Community Business Development Partnership. We took a close examination of the existing contract with Clean Power and a look at some potential opportunities to greatly enhance DBE participation. And we also looked at the scenario for going out with a new RFP, debundling the service to be rendered. Now, what is common through both scenarios is that the living wage impact. And so I'm here to speak to our DBE participation. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to go through the pros and cons of each where you can make the decision of which way you want to go. I will begin with the existing contract. The current contractor, Clean Power, in our discussions with them that we wanted to, well, just let me back up. The process of whether or not any vendor has successfully satisfied DBE participation is an up and down decision. It pass, fail. At some point, I'd like to talk about a different methodology as my vision for increasing capacity associated with my DBE firms. But in this situation, they did pass. They currently have two DBE firms on the contract, meeting 25%. The hope, the desire, is to have what I call boots on the ground. The two DBE firms is one is a temporary agency, one is a supplier. We don't have actual people in facilities doing the work. That's the desirable goal to have. And with that said, we feel that since we're the owner, we have some little leverage here to see how we can amend the existing contract to put those individuals in facilities. We also are looking at capacity building. And one of the opportunities we have under this scenario as a plus is that a formal mentor protege agreement with and a new DBE firm, keeping the two DBE firms that we have, but adding in an additional DBE firm to satisfy those desires to have individuals working in those facilities. But the mentor protege agreement, depending on the firms that they, the firm that they will select, and they have a process that I can explain in detail later if that's desired, is to help these firms build capacity. As you recall, every month I come to you with a waiver report. And for those waiver reports, you hear the reason for the waivers is specialized. I transfer that is capacity. So my vision and desire is to change that paradigm to have a mentor protege relationship between majority firms and contracting firms to help them grow, to give them more specialized. And so they have a formal mentor protege documentation that they have used in the past with other firms. We can control our outcome of this, predictable, because we as the county are in the driver's seat. A part of their plan also includes carving out a section or facility
where DB firms can grow capacity, or another option is to use them on multiple facilities in a mentor-protege relationship as well. The other opportunity is that in our discussion with Clean Power is that they have utilized DBM firms in non-county related contracting. They appear to have a history of doing these type of things. One of the things that they had suggested in their mentor-protege relationship is taking these DBM firms to national conventions and showing the trade and other techniques that they have benefited from. And the other advantage, obviously, from a county perspective, is easier to manage one main contract or a manageable number of contracts than multiple contracts. Now, the cons of doing this. Obviously, you know, we don't have a full range of opportunities for DB firms when you debundle. We have three firms that would possibly be involved here. The other disadvantage, if you will, is that it's going to require a commitment from the prime and the sub on this mentor-protege relationship that is on their dime. For example, if the mentor-protege relationship is this, I as a DB firm want to know how Clean Power or firms like yourself, how are you in the kitchen knowing when these decisions are going to be made for contracting opportunity? How do I maximize my profit and my margin? That's on their dime, not on our dime. What is on our dime is when they're actually performing the services. So one of the disadvantages is, so to speak, but I think is a great return on investment, is that those type of capacity building opportunities is on their dime. Now, at some point, as our department get technical assistance money, maybe we can help in, you know, softening that cost there. Now, the other option, going out to bid or debundling. Obviously, one of the advantages of going out to a bid and unbundling is that you increase the probability of having more DBE firms. Now, what is essential about unbundling that you have to configure it properly where you structure it where the bidding process will hit different capacity segments, meaning that if you debundle a project where you have an opportunity for small businesses to propose on it, medium-sized business and large business. So the configuration is essential there. The advantage there, too, from unbundling, going out to RFP, you may have an opportunity of a couple of DBE firms winning a prime contract. Okay. And also one of the advantages of unbundling is that given in the marketplace, you may get more competitive bids. The disadvantage, as I see it, as it relates to my vision, unbundling is no guarantee that a mentor-protege relationship, capacity-building opportunity is there. Even though DBE firms may win more contracts, sizable contracts, that's not necessarily translate to growth. It just means they're basically doing business as usual. It is fortunate to be doing more business. The other disadvantage, too, of potentially unbundling, there's no guarantee we're going to have DBEs playing a significant role in doing something of that sort. Mm-hmm. And finally, the other disadvantage is when you have multiple contracts, that means more of the burden on us, Milwaukee County, of managing those multiple contracts. And again, I emphasize that the living wage component to all this is depending of the formatting and the bidding process affects both scenarios. So those are the, from my vantage point, of the pros and cons of both keeping with the existing contract and unbundling. But one other thing, Supervisor, you asked the question of any amendment to the contract, and Corps Counsel is here. As I interpret what he was saying is that if it affects pricing, then, you know, you have to give the opportunity. When we're talking about a mentor-protege relationship, however, if it does not affect pricing, that, in my opinion, could be amended to the existing contract because it doesn't affect pricing. It just affects strategy of building capacity.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Director Norris, running through the different opportunities that we have. I know the director wanted to be here today as well, Director Tyler, and I was going to try to adjust this in the schedule so that he could attend later in the day. But we already got into the item too far to stop the process, so my apologies publicly for that. I guess where I'm still at is, you know, there are still a number of different things that need to be adjusted from the original place, and we're just not ready to move. Even if we wanted to, some of the changes can be made, but not all of them can at this point, and it's not in writing and it's not ready. So I guess I will move forward to board day and motion for approval on this item. Well, you had an amendment, so we have to do the amendment and then the item, but we'll still have up until board day to see what options that we have.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you.
I have a card from Stephanie Gulizia from Procurement, Milwaukee County Procurement Department.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I'm here in lieu of Mr. Tyler and Patrick Lee today. Just wanted to make sure everybody understood why we reintroduced the contract. We felt we had a fiduciary obligation to the taxpayers in light of the Comptroller's February 5th memo stating that the increase in cost to the taxpayers for janitorial services over a three-year period under the living wage ordinance will be $2 million. Of course, it is within your purview to set the policy, weigh those factors, but we felt we would be remiss if we did not bring the item again in light of that February 5th report.
Thank you. Any questions? Supervisor Jersey?
Well, I do think Supervisor Lipscomb's amendment would cause us to amend the financial statement. I don't know if that's the number or not, but it seems to me that we need to get an updated financial statement before we include this amendment.
I'm sorry.
Supervisor Lipscomb, on your amendment.
All right, so the amendment's been distributed. It's just as I stated it. But for that last comment, I guess my question, why would the fiscal need to be updated if we're amending? This is an amendment to the Bowen resolution, not an amendment to the department's resolution. So if we were amending the department's resolution, then there'd be a change from the RFP number. But my amendment is only effectuating what I believe the Bowen Amendment was always intended to do, which was to re-RFP housekeeping janitorial services to comply with our living wage provisions.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'll start here. I don't want to rehash the same arguments for, those hours upon hours meetings that we already had on living wage. So I'd rather not respond to the direction of the procurement office, but I'd rather... As Director Norris, we do have language on line 56 about unbundling, and some of your comments were that unbundling doesn't guarantee more DVE participation. And are you saying should there be flexibility in the direction to the department so that they don't have to? But it does specifically say included waiting contract costs more than 20% of the total evaluation score and structuring the proposal and unbundling in quotations so that DBE firms could effectively compete its main contractors or subcontractors. Does it need to be open, or is that open enough?
Director Norris.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I'm sorry, Supervisor, let me just clarify. Unbundling will have participation in it. It has to, okay. Where I was coming from and my vision is no guarantee that a DB firm will win as a prime contractor. And that's my vision because it goes to capacity building. Let me just share my vision, my experience. The term disadvantaged business in its origin, and I apologize if I'm just repeating something you already know, it meant that very talented small businesses were at a disadvantage and because of certain conditions. Now it has flipped that they're disadvantaged. So this veil is that when you say disadvantaged business, they don't have the capacity to do things. So it impedes access as being a prime. And the way for our DB firms to grow is to get the opportunity to be prime, to graduate, and be sustainable and increase employment and economic opportunities. So I'm just saying when we unbundle, and depending on how it is, unbundling is configured, and I keep emphasizing how it's configured, where it is in that level where a DB firms who has the financial capability and the personnel and the back office capability said, this part of this RFP, I can really achieve that. And so that's the reason I'm saying, so this unbundling has to be some thought to that. And but unbundling does not necessarily guarantee DB firms being primes.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Can I add to that thought? Just to expand on what Director Norris is saying, just simply the financial obligation to start up a number of the county facilities because of their size can be up to hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment and supplies. And that is something, too, as Clean Power was awarded the letter of intent to move forward last June, that was partially because of our financial ability to take on that investment and succeed. And as Director Norris has stated, in our mentor-mentee program, we will also be committing to paying the DBE contractor earlier so that their cash flow will allow for them to make more investments in their own operations and program. So it's a situation where debundling, while it has its pros and cons, one of them you have to consider is the simple financial investment of starting a facility, much less than being successful with cash flow and payroll to succeed on it long term. One additional comment in the mentor-mentee program is while we will expose the DBE minority company to national programs and national organizations, we believe we're really going to be able to make a strong influence and effect is in the weekly interaction here locally within your county facilities to make them a better operation, to help share best practices. And we by no means think we have all the answers. We know we're going to be learning from them as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Lipscomb, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do offer Amendment 1 on 14-350, adding the language after the word county, after county facilities, adding that complies with the living wage provision as defined in Chapter 111 of Milwaukee County General Ordinances. I believe that meets the spirit of, in which the author originally intended, and reflects what we've learned that if we want to do this in a way that utilizes the living wage ordinance, that's what we need to do is specifically direct that. I appreciate the discussion about bundling, unbundling. We had some of that discussion back in October, November, whenever this was originally in front of us, and I appreciate there's some new perspective and some new enthusiasm for what, how it could be done. I think that the second, be it further resolved, clause, while it has unbundling as a word in parentheses. It does not stipulate exactly how. I think it provides the department the latitude to figure out the most effective methods to accomplish that. But that was a significant concern for many of us. So I look forward to that, and I hope that we will do a new process. With that, I offer move adoption of Amendment 1.
Supervisor Lipscomb moves to adopt Amendment 1. Any comments on Amendment 1? Supervisor Jersey?
Well, my understanding is we're not requiring a new RFP because to do a new financial statement, because to do just the RFP itself doesn't have a financial impact. I guess the question, I'm not interested in refighting the whole issue around living wage. It's now the policy of this county, and that's the state of facts. What are we looking for from this RFP as we go forward? Are we looking to get this information for next budget year? We understand that for now we can continue the month-to-month relationship, which the last budget addressed the impact of that within our budget and put money in. So if I could just understand where we're going with this, I'd appreciate knowing that. Are we doing this for next budget year, a new RFP, or what?
Supervisor Brown or Lipscomb?
Sure. I would say the whole reason that I'm proposing that we give them this direction is that we not delay it, or that we not wait till June 1st to put it out. So I think that this gives them the authority to go ahead right away, presuming that this passes and that the exec doesn't drag his feet on signing it. They should do something in May. There's no reason to wait for the next budget. The contract has no relationship to the fiscal year, and there are elements in terms of service levels and other things that there are other changes that are desired. So there's a reason beyond fiscal. There are reasons why a new contract is necessary.
Well, it just begs the question, Mr. Chair, when do we get to the point of what this is going to cost us and where's the money coming from? I'm just wondering where we're going with this.
They'll come back with it, Mr. Chairman. They'll come back, as they do with any RFP of this size, they would come back with a recommendation, and that would include a fiscal note.
Supervisor Bowen. Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to just emphasize the same thing. I think they would move forward accordingly with the RFP process and come back with a contract that has been competitive with the best value for Milwaukee County under the provisions that we set. So we have to spend money on janitorial services either way. And, bringing back the same contract that the board has already rejected for very credible reasons and then claiming, that we'll save money if we don't pay the people that work on the contract a wage to provide for their families, and claiming that as savings, I don't know if that's an accurate statement for the administration to say. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. We have a motion to adopt the amendment 1 by Supervisor Lipscomb. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Jersic?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend FPA Amendment Number 1 for adoption prevails.
Thank you. Oh,
that was the amendment.
That's on the amendment. So we need a motion on the resolution as amended.
I move adoption.
Supervisor Bourne moves adoption of the resolution as amended. Any other comments, questions, concerns? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend item number 6 for adoption as amended prevails.
Thank you.